fighting for America.
The Republican Party is in this big, massive civil war. It's Tea Party versus establishment, libertarians versus social conservatives. There's infighting, conflict, backbiting, discord.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't want to scare people, but waves of terrorism, stuff that we've never seen or heard before by small groups, much like Paris, I'm very worried about it, and I'm very worried about an incredibly porous border.
Fighting for you.
Thank you for having this great show on in the morning, because without it, we wouldn't have any real conservative voice out there on the radio.
Voices Mr. Right.
Like me, friend me, and we'll have a great time together.
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Elliott dodged the eye of this national championship win.
There we have it. It's official. Our secular religion, part one, is over. That is the national title game in college football last night. Congratulations to Ohio State. Congratulations to the Oregon Ducks. Sure, it didn't end up like y'all thought it would be, but it was a good game, a learning experience. Nice to see people getting so involved in their community. You got Chip Kelly flying in. You got LeBron James coming in. And it really, you know, has college football, pro football become our secular religion? I would say yes. And just having watched just how much our society has become sports-centered. You know, 20 years ago when good old Kay Millie had a dream, and that dream was to be with you each and every day. I can't say that it was each and every morning, because morning hours are like dog years. They age it quite a bit. But when I had a dream of being on talk radio and talking about issues, issues were a lot bigger. Now, not to say that they're marginalized, because, look, you have to speak up now more than ever. Why? Because there are less people actively engaged. There are less people who are tuned in. We had the State of the State. Congratulations to this station, 580 KIDO, not subsidized by the government of the state of Idaho, that decided to do what they're licensed to do by the Federal Communications Commission, and that is to run the State of the State. Okay, that's number one. And number two, all three television stations ran it. I thought that's great. I don't think you see that in a lot of places, maybe because we're hungry for news or what have you. And you have the governor making his statement, and it's, you know, it's fascinating. We'll get to that in a minute, but it's funny that everybody's talking about the governor's legacy. And you recall that we were the only ones that discussed that 6 months ago, because this is the final roundup for Governor Otter. He said that this is it for him. And it's funny how we have set that agenda, you and me, and now everybody's picking up on that. And the idea that we're going to have more money for teachers, we're going to have more money for people in the upper income tax bracket, we're going to have more money. I guess the money tree is good to go. But, you know, which really impacts our lives? It's great to watch all the beautiful people and all the sports guys and gals when they're telling us, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, sports has to be one of the easiest things to be a part of. It's not really that polarizing, with the exception of our friend Paul Feinbaum down there in SEC country. Anybody can figure it out. Hey, you need more guys at the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's a relatively easy thing to be involved in sports. In fact, people, our format has been under fire because of the, you know, the appeal of sports. You don't upset anybody when you're covering it, and it's been incredibly worthwhile. People have grown into, you know, sports broadcasters and such. Again, talking about big issues that impact our lives, that's a little different. And to be a part of that every day, as you are, I recognize it, I acknowledge it, because, you know, when we get past the curtain of the PC, the curtain of the propaganda, there's not a lot of good news going on. You know, we've got the shooting in Moscow. We've got the Post Falls little 9-year-old that was arrested. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. And we're, you know, overburdened But, you know, I think the state of the state is important. And having had the privilege of being with you every morning for longer than I've been anywhere else, thank God for that. You know, we get a chance to do different things. We get a chance to go out to your schools, to your cities, to your towns, and listen. And I hope that the politicians in Boise understand that as they get up to start the day. The pageantry is over. Josh Turner, Josh Groban, Josh whatever his name is that came into town, he's gone. Now it's time to get down to the people's business. What's our great challenge? Well, it would be this thing.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
You know, let's face it. Now, I know there are people that are Ohio State fans, but this is a lot easier to listen to.
There were a lot of people trying to climb the gates to get into the field, try to tear down the goalposts.
Right. Everybody wants to tear down the goalposts.
Everyone was sprinting down to the stadium to see if we could get onto the field, and a bunch of people climbed over the fence. And some of the police sprayed tear gas or pepper spray or something to disperse the crowd.
Boy, that'll clear up your sinuses. God bless them. Best to them. But here in our state, as in the state of Ohio or Oregon, by the way, there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal that culturally compared the state of Ohio to the state of Oregon. And as we know, Oregon, one of the most liberal, progressive states in the country. And Ohio kind of flip-flops depending on who's running the government. However, get back to the state of the state. I mean, let's face it, how exciting is, you know, to listen to it? How many people tuned in? You're a junkie on news, and so am I. We heard from the sports fans. Let's take a look at the news people.
My total general fund budget request for the coming year represents a 5.2% increase. But my proposal for public schools calls for a 7.4% more funding. That's almost $60 million more than we allotted for schools during the Great Recession, when the Great Recession began in 2009.
You know, you think about this, and a lot of people, you know, we forget because we're ADD, because we have to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, keep up with the kids, cook dinner, and, oh, yeah, work at a job to justify our existence to pay the man the mortgage and the car payment. Never mind retirement. We'll worry about that some other time. You know, Governor Otter here, does he get enough credit? Does the state get enough credit for getting us through the recession? Well, he didn't have a choice. The Constitution says in Idaho that the budget has to be balanced. I think he's right to bring that up. Now, the education lobby, Big Ed as we'll call them, because we've got a lot of bigs. We've got Big Ag, we've got Big Dairy, we've got Big Ed, we've got Big Transportation, a lot of bigs going on. The education folks said, Governor, we can do better. They recruited A.J. Belukoff, who spent $4 million of his own money because he believed he could do a better job, because he believes that Idaho could do better. And you want to talk about things outside the realm of sports? I know of one issue in the state, schools. So the governor deciding to reallocate money for the schools and most of the money going to teachers. Now, remember, as we've known, that anybody comes out against a levy, anybody that comes out against building expansion, you're beating up on the teachers. Think about this at 580-5436. Do you agree with that move to give teachers raises? Now, we know that teachers do a good job. We support teachers, like our friends at CapEd. We love teachers.org. However, could that money go somewhere else? Do you, if you were the legislature or the governor, do you agree with the governor's statement? Let's hear it one more time, because we've heard for the last 4 years, education needs more money. You talk about a contentious issue that we have on the Manly Man segment. That's Dave Burnett and I going back and forth on whether or not the budget was cut or wasn't it cut. And then we carried it over throughout the weekend because one of us, that would be me, was so obsessed about it.
My total general fund budget request for the coming year represents a 5.2% increase. But my proposal for public schools calls for a 7.4% more funding. That's almost $60 million more than we allotted for schools during the Great Recession, when the Great Recession began in 2009.
Now, my question to the governor, where's the money going to come from? Revenues have been restored. A.J. Belukov was very critical of him when he was talking about the general fund or the rainy day fund, putting money into the rainy day fund at the expense of education. And here's the other issue, and this was broken kind of over the weekend, didn't get a lot of coverage because of the shooting in Moscow. In addition to that, the governor's ball, in addition to that, to the national title that really has nothing to do with us, is once again, according to some anonymous, well, it's not really anonymous, I just don't know the name, education group, Idaho ranked 46th. And people on social media saying, look, all the money we spend and we're still blank. That's where Common Core came in. And the governor talked a little bit about that. Sherry Ebar talked a little bit about that. But it's kind of like Common Core or health, the health exchange or anything else. It's kind of like when you accept a job. You go in, you interview, and people tell you, oh, it's going to be great. And the older you get and the more you've kind of been bumped around, you start asking specific questions. Now, if you have a job, you ask a lot of tough questions because you want to set the agenda. If you don't have a job, you go, oh, please, I would like some pennies, sir or ma'am. And everything's wonderful. Everything's great. And then you get in there and you think to yourself, this isn't what they promised me. Well, it's very similar to what we're seeing with the budget and everything else with the health exchange, with the Boise school lunch program. Once you start accepting federal money, just like once you start accepting the job, then all of a sudden the gremlins come out or the goonies come out or the bumps in the road that maybe you specified, oh, the federal government will not control our health exchange, but they do. Oh, the federal government just wants us to help pay for school lunch programs, which is good for kids that need those meals. And look, let's face it, I haven't missed a meal lately. But with those money comes certain things. No ticky, no punchy, as I like to say here at the Broadcast Center to all our sales associates and professionals. No ticky, no punchy. So if all of a sudden you're going to accept Common Core and get the money, you're going to have to accept what the feds tell you. Data mining with little kids, you will train for the test, you will get these test scores, because essentially it's a federal takeover of the schools. And we've talked to teachers, and there aren't a lot of teachers that will go on camera. Wait a minute, we don't have a camera. We'll go on the mic and say, I disagree with the Common Core standards. But it is an issue. And you take a look at the Republicans, they say, well, we kind of like it, we kind of don't. The state school superintendent was in favor of Common Core. Now that she's elected, I don't know. The key is they're not going to do anything. They mean well. I think Tom Luna meant well when he was the Secretary of Ed. Throwing money at it? Here's what I'm trying to say at 580-5436. Do teachers deserve a pay raise? How many of you have fought for your local educator? Now, I believe most of this money that the governor has talked about will go to teachers. And in the old days, heck, a brief 4.5 years ago, people would say, no, teachers make enough money. But you have the governor recognizing the issue, the governor recognizing the problem, and he's going to address that with the money that still, despite No Child Left Behind, despite Common Core, despite methods from our friends at CAPED, our friends at, Don't Fail Idaho, our friends at, again, that champion education in the state, were 46th out of 50th. What's the answer? And do you believe that Mrs. Ibarra, Governor Otter, and others are the people, and the State Board of Education, are the ones to make this happen? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, at 580KIDO on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you next. Much more on the state of the state. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it here at 580KIDO, thanks to Ray Amaya, we have the best of Governor Otter, soon to be coming to a CD or MP3 near you. 619 at 580KIDO. Idaho's place to talk, 31 in Boise. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The biggest ticket item in our infrastructure inventory is our long-term, multi-billion-dollar investment in Idaho's roads and bridges. And if Idaho learns means anything at all, it's time for us to address that elephant in the room.
There we have it. That was the big theme yesterday. Governor Otter saying Idaho learns. That was the big speech, kind of like Oregon win the day, or our motto here, win the morning. Win the morning. Each and every day as we get up and start the day, the governor laying the groundwork. And we had discussed this, and we've got a poll at 580kido.com. Do you agree with more taxes going to roads, the fuel tax going up, this tax going up? Very different from past years where the governor has talked about pulling in the bootstraps and the belt and tightening everything and making it happen. Now, not so much when we're taking a look at the roads, and it comes down to whether or not you're ready and willing to pay more at the pump. Now, right now, gas is what? $1.85. Gas is, $1.80 some places. If you have an Albertsons or Fred Meyer card, it's even better. But if you have a big truck, do you feel you're getting hosed simply for the fact that you're paying more in gas?
You know, I drive in from Star every day just like you do. And when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55, at the stoplight in my Ford pickup that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort. But they're not paying the same price that I am. And so I think one of the things that we need to do is we really need to make sure that there's equal pay for equal use.
Do you agree with that statement, equal pay for equal use? Governor Otter saying if you drive a big truck, and let's face it, most of you that listen to this program drive the big trucks. Okay, your humble host doesn't drive the big trucks. And then you see somebody in a little car with the electric motor going. You go, hey, what's up with that? They're getting 50 miles to the gallon, and I'm getting 15. I'm having to pay for more. Well, the bigger trucks do use up more of the road. The bigger trucks are heavier. And remember, we're just like people want us to quit smoking and they tax the heck out of cigarettes, we want people to get off the big trucks and onto the little cars, so can you blame them? And that'll be brought up. But to me, it kind of – I love politics, timing being everything. The legislature will never be more powerful than it is right now. They've just gone through a contentious primary because there is really no two-party system. In fact, look, Idaho Democrats, I'm sitting there watching, and I don't even know why they interview you. With all due respect, it's a Republican state. Now, is it a red state? We can debate that. It's a Republican state. And the majorities in both houses, it's going to make it happen with one party. Now, there are factions within the party. But, you know, this is the time when people that have been elected, they feel they've been given a mandate. The House has gotten more conservative. Does that mean it's going to be more tax and spend friendly? I don't know. The Senate, you've had some turnover. Some folks have been there for quite some time. The governor reelected to a third term, so he feels emboldened. But the governor very shrewd on this one. He's not going to quarterback the gas tax increase. He's just talking about the need. He's not talking about how to fund the need. But if something happens, like a bridge comes down, or a road, a sinkhole swallows up a road, the governor could say, see, I told you so.
Chairman Brackett and Palmer, legislative leaders, I am not going to stand here and tell you how to swallow this elephant. That would be contrary to all that I have learned and that we have learned about each other in recent years. But we all know it must be done. And I welcome financially responsible legislation that addresses steady, ongoing, and sustainable transportation infrastructure in Idaho. However, I will not entertain proposals that aimed at competing for general fund tax dollars with education and our other required public programs or services.
Hands off my education budgets. By the way, at 580-5436, since the governor is looking at putting money back in to education, will he consider putting money back in to special needs programs, to social support programs that were cut in 09? How many of you remember this? Kevin, I'm just waking up. Remember programs that are aimed at helping the disabled, helping the special needs, helping people on disabilities in Idaho. Remember those hearings back in 09 and 10 where people were talking about here in Boise and throughout the area how they couldn't get by without the money? Is it time to restore money in those programs? If you're going to spend $60 million, shouldn't you take a look at those much-needed programs as well? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Much more on the state of the state, but coming up next, one Hollywood actor gets it right. Find out next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
We'd like to see further reductions in the marginal tax rates for Idaho individual and corporate income tax.
Guess who just got back today?
It's all about oil and money in Congress today. A vote is planned in the Senate on the Keystone XL pipeline.
My message to Republicans is join us. Get on board.
The administration ought to get their act together.
We need new leadership. We need an opposition party.
Your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
By now, most of you know that I would like to see further reductions in the marginal tax rates for Idaho individual and corporate income tax to below 7% from their current 7.4%.
There we have it. Much more from the governor and the state of the state speech. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Coming up, one major university in the state, I bet you can't guess which one, has canceled an order for AR-15s. Before we get to that, though, that's right, AR-15s. Before we get to that, though, we always want to inform, provoke, and inspire here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. And if you missed the Golden Globes, and unfortunately we didn't get a chance to share this yesterday, is you have a Hollywood actor who has really resonated with the folks. Now, I don't know how these guys do it. They live in these mansions. They have these private jets. They eat sunflower seeds. They talk about carbon emissions and carbon footprints and carbon this and carbon that. You know, they represent us in the movies, and you go, wow, I really felt that character. He moved me. Oh, it was great. It's the best ever. But do they really understand who and what we are? Believe it or not, one Hollywood actor actually nailed it when he talks about being thankful for what he has and being inspired for who supports him. Let's take a listen. This is Michael Keaton from the Golden Globe Awards. It has nothing to do with Hollywood, has nothing to do with Birdman, the movie that he won the award for, has nothing to do with fancy cars or Beverly Hills. It really has to do with life. Let's listen.
Don't quit. Be appreciative. Be thankful. Be grateful, be respectful. Also, to never whine, ever. Never complain. And always, for crying out loud, keep a sense of humor. My name is Michael John Douglas. I'm from Forest Grove, Pennsylvania. I'm the seventh child of George and Leona Douglas. And I don't ever remember a time when my father didn't work two jobs. When my mother wasn't saying the rosary or going to mass or trying to take care of seven kids in a run-down farmhouse, she was volunteering at the Ohio Valley Hospital where I was born in the hallway. I've got six wonderful brothers and sisters. I have some tremendous, tremendously loving and generous friends all over the world. My best friend is kind, intelligent, funny, talented, considerate, thoughtful. Did I say kind? He also... He also happens to be my son, Sean.
Kevin,
I love you with all my heart, buddy. This is for all those people. For all of them. Sorry. Shoot. Two things I said I wasn't going to do. Cry and give air quotes. Damn. I'm so grateful, honestly, from the bottom of my heart. You have no idea what this means to me. And to come from the place where I come from, I'm proud of all my friends and my family. Thank you very, very much. I'm extremely grateful.
There you have it. Michael Keaton saying his best friend is his son, and never to whine, never to quit, to continue on to fight. And an amazing tribute that a father has given to his son. Inspiring words here this morning. Now we go on to the shenanigans at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up next hour, Carrie Patton will join us to talk about what's happened in Paris. If you haven't heard, a big cyber attack at the U.S. military social media accounts. Now, I understand that we're trying to be hip and everybody wants to be relatable. And look, I live in the media world. In fact, with the way things are going today, we're all media stations. And I think one day we're going to have, if you want to have this, and gosh knows, who knows if you really want to, where you're going to have your own TV channel, your own radio channel, your own print channel. And never mind what you're doing, it's, you know, people are going to tune into you. You look at these kids today, 16 years old, on YouTube, making millions of dollars, putting on lipstick. It's amazing. And then you have the military. Now, I think the military should be sacred. I think that the military really shouldn't engage in Facebook and Twitter and everything else. Well, what happens when you have these accounts? They get hacked. Here's Fox News' Kelly Wright with the details at 580KIDO.
The FBI is investigating the cyber hack attack. It is cause for concern, particularly since this comes on the heels of ISIS making threats to target police and members of the military and civilians. On Monday, as President Obama discussed how cyber attacks pose a direct threat to the economic security of American families, a group claiming to be ISIS or ISIS supporters launched a cyber hack attack against the U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, hitting its Twitter account and YouTube page. A banner over the site said, "I love ISIS," and tweets like, "ISIS is already here." The group even showed photos that appear to be taken from military cameras inside U.S. military bases. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the hack is being taken seriously, but it's not that significant.
Yeah, there's nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. Never mind that ISIS is a grave threat to us. Now, I know a lot of people, our friend Alex from Patriot Pawn and Gun, kind of disagrees with me on this, but I will tell you that, and maybe Tom Munns as well, but I will tell you that they're just laughing at the president. And to have the gall to go after the military and say, "We're coming for you." What was it a week ago when we played the Sean Hannity clip? I think for the first time in my life, I would be worried if I were Sean Hannity for speaking out. These guys have no rules. They have no limits. They have no borders. Now, Sean, as you know, carries a weapon. He protects himself. However, let's face it, to go after somebody high profile, to hack into the military, to have enough gall to say, "We're coming for you." Why are they so emboldened? Where do they get this from? Well, is it the fact that our attorney general, as we discussed yesterday, will not even say that we're at war with radical Islam? I mean, think about that as you're driving in from work today, into work today. You know, are we at war with radical Islam? That's a simple question, is it not? At 580-5436, it's a simple question. Are we at war with radical Islam? I think there's a simple answer that most of us say, yes! On the other hand, you have Eric Holder, Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, that will give you a nuanced answer. In fact, now it's disclosed that Joe Biden and the president really weren't doing anything, that they could have attended that unity rally in France, but maybe that would have sent a message to ISIS that we're against them. Eric Holder was in France and didn't do it. Our own Ed Henry took issue with the president's press secretary, Josh Earnest, about this yesterday.
Why wouldn't you there that we are going to take on Islamic extremism. You said all forms of violent extremism.
She asked me what the summit would discuss, and all forms of violent extremism would be discussed, and obviously the most potent and certainly the most graphic display that we've seen in recent days is motivated by those individuals that seek to invoke the name of Islam to carry out these violent attacks, and that's certainly something that we want to work very hard to counter and mitigate, and we've got a strategy that we've been discussing for some time to do that.
The most potent form, according to you, of extremism, why isn't it the summit on countering Islamic extremism?
Because violent extremism is something that we want to be focused on, and it's not just Islamic violent extremism that we want to counter. There are other forms of
Paris, Australia, Canada. Isn't the thread through them that it's Islamic extremism?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly the examples that you cite are examples of individuals.
There we have it. Australia, Canada, Paris. Is it that violent Islamic extremism? We're going to call it a play. You know, what happened in Paris, was that an incident of workplace violence? No wonder they're hacking us on the same day that the president is touting his new bill on cybersecurity. Boy, it's a good thing that he was reelected, right? 580-5436, do you believe that we are really committed to stopping these folks? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up next, as we've talked about, one major university, they decided they were going to protect themselves, and they ordered a bunch of AR-15s, and this is in Idaho, and somehow they've decided to cancel that order. We'll talk about it next. 649, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Let's take a look at your temp.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
655, 31 in Nampa. Good morning. 580-KIDO, Kevin Miller with you. So what university in Idaho had the opportunity to buy some AR-15s? Well, we'll tell you that in 2 seconds. By the way, coming up, are you ready for our friend Mitt Romney one more time? It looks like Mitt Romney is going to run. Why? He believes that a third time is a charm. We'll get to a little to that. Idaho State University has canceled an order for 11 AR-15 rifles. According to the Associate Vice President for ISU Facilities, Phil Mossener, says the school canceled the order in December. He says the school ordered the weapons in August to have them on hand should an active shooter appear on campus. But Mossner says officials on second consideration decided it would be better if local law enforcement officials, rather than campus security, dealt with an active shooter should that situation arise. Mossner tells the Idaho State Journal that the school might still have to pay for some of the cost of the guns. He didn't provide an estimate. So there we have one university, and in my opinion, being proactive and saying, hey, if it goes down, we want to have our own armory. It is Idaho, by the way. We like our guns here. In fact, I was looking at something the other day. The 10th most armed county in the country is Canyon County. Congratulations to our friends in Canyon County. Great job there. So you take a look at this, and is there anything wrong with campus security at ISU, at BSU, at Idaho, at Lewis and Clark, deciding, hey, we want to be armed and prepared? Or perhaps some progressive decided that, we'd be better off waiting for law enforcement. And really, it kind of plays into the whole campus carry debate that you had most educators in the state, most higher educators in the state, say it was a bad idea, because the police can save you. Well, we love the police, and certainly recently, now more than ever, we realize the value of police. But, you know, a college or university having AR-15s, does that give you pause for concern or say, right on? We'll talk about that coming up as we roll along. Remember, Kerry Patton coming up. will go inside the minds and the thinking of the terror cells in France. Can't believe that that woman got away and now is in ISIS-controlled Syria. It's like something you'd see in Homelander 24. By the way, Homeland is so afraid that they could be next, that Showtime series, that they might not do some of the groundbreaking work that they have done concerning our relationship with the Pakistanis. Too much negative blowback. And we wonder why they feel emboldened. 31 right now in Caldwell. Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget, at 8 o'clock, our friend Nagmeet Abedini will join us. She'll talk about what she's doing to raise awareness for her husband, Pastor Saeed. Keep it here.